Tuesday. I want to give you right to you when we can. We got a big announcement coming up. We are going to have Travis Kelce Day.
Yes.
On 8-7. Because, duh, 8-7, year 13. Could this be the last year? We'll have former coaches of Travis Kelce join us. We'll have players join us. We're hoping to get Travis to join us. And just basically make the day all about Travis Kelce on August 7th, a.k.a. 8-7. So very excited about that. Promos you'll start to hear. Any ideas are welcome. What you want to see, what you want to hear, how you want to celebrate this day. We've done the St. Patrick's Day before about Mahomes.
Right.
This is a day that this show is going to do where we're going to honor number 87, in which we think this is the last dance. So why not have a good big 87 day for Mr. Travis Kelce?
Yeah, and it's something I think everybody in the city wants to celebrate, right? I think if you're going into this season not expecting this to be Travis Kelce's last year in Kansas City, I think you're approaching the season wrong. Hey, he may surprise us and stay for a little bit longer, but the writing's on the wall. I mean, it's there, right? It's year 13, which is obviously Taylor's favorite number, and so that's kind of cool. You get that one last opportunity to kind of go for it in the last year of your contract with Patrick Mahomes. I think the writing is definitely on the wall for this to be Travis Kelce's last season. So we're going to celebrate him before the season even gets started, because he goes down as the greatest tight end and arguably the greatest, maybe second greatest offensive weapon behind Mahomes in Chiefs history.
Or maybe one of the greatest performances in Chiefs history.
Damian Williams, halfback left side. Kelce trots in motion across the face of Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce with another catch on a sprint-out run-pass option again! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone!
I love it.
Heck yeah. Come on.
Gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Yeah, we'll hear a lot from that guy on Kelce Day for sure.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of highlights from Travis Kelce. You start to think about like your favorite play of Travis Kelce's career. Who the hell can pick just one of Travis Kelce's career? I mean, the overtime run against the Chargers in the regular season is special.
Oh, that one's great.
That one's cool. I still love the Texans one where he's surrounded by 10 people in the end zone and Mahomes dumps it right in there. I mean, there's just been so many plays right, you know, over the last 13 years where you look at Travis Kelce and you're just like,
I want to do his like top non-plays, like rolling the dice against Denver, throwing the towel at the ref as a flag, guy couldn't even be at Foot Locker,
right?
Like all those were like, cause it's weird to bring this up, but that's where he was and look where he is.
I know, it's crazy, right?
So, trying to settle in some guests for the rest of that great day, which is also my 38th birthday, but nobody cares.
Now it's Travis Kelce Day. It's all about, you shouldn't have been born on Travis Kelce
Sorry, man,
Day.
That's
right?
Exactly like, right. Yeah.
Yeah, the first one ever.
How old are you going to be? 38.
38.
Right? And how many years has he been in this league?
13.
How old were you when Travis Kelce entered the NFL?
25.
There you go. And look at you now.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, 25 to 38. Like, but that's a lifetime. That's no longer in your 20s. Now you're middle aged. I mean, that's how long Travis Kelce's career has been. Been around, and you went from 25 to 38 not knowing the Kansas City Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes, right? You went, how old are you?
26.
How long is Travis Kelce? How old were you when Travis Kelce came into the NFL? 13 years old.
Yeah.
And now here you are. And how
did you have hair down there when you got into the league?
Yeah. And then I look at me, I'm 48 minus 13. I was 35 when Travis Kelce came into the league. So it's all different kind of eras of how we experience Travis Kelce. See what I'm doing there? My era of Travis Kelce is kind of the older man era, the adult. I'm grown up. I've got the kids. I probably appreciated it a lot more because I'm older. You were in middle school.
When what?
Right?
When what?
When Travis Kelce came into the league.
Yeah.
Middle school. What middle school? Were you at Leawood Elementary?
Or was it Leawood Middle?
Leawood Middle School. when Travis Kelce came into this league.
Go Panthers.
Like did they have Lexuses that picked you up to go to school there?
They did. No, like, Butlers.
They had Benz.
Yeah, the Butler came and took him to school.
Your Mercedes is late, Mac.
You live next to Dana.
Her and Walter Pennington.
Yeah. You're on the bus, Mac. You can get.
Your mom was definitely drinking the Chardonnay out of a tumbler, driving you in a silver minivan to Leawood Middle School. But think about your life. 13 years old, you were going to Leawood Middle School. And in Travis Kelce's career, you moved to Nashville. You went to college. You went to Wyoming or where the hell you were. You went back to Tennessee. You came back. Like, a lot has happened in your life in 13 years. My 13 years, nothing's really changed. It really, I mean, you went from 25 to 38. I'm sure a lot's changed for you in those period of time. So your Travis Kelce era is more of your kind of your growing up and, you know, you're developing who you are era. Yours was the baby era for you. It's crazy how Travis Kelce probably has a different impression too for all of us from the different eras, because when he first came up, he was a loose cannon, man. Like, Andy Reid was just about done with Travis Kelce. He said it. He goes, I'm done with this guy, right? And if he does one more thing, we're moving on. Travis Kelce straightened up and became a great citizen. Same thing happened in college with him. You know, a little behind the scenes, we talked to Butch Jones's college coach a little bit yesterday. We're starting to stockpile interviews. And he said this kind of stuff, too. Like, Jason Kelce is probably the guy we should be celebrating in all this, because without Jason Kelce, I'm not sure we're talking about Travis Kelce.
Well, just like how emotional Travis was during Jason's retirement. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was crying more than Jason. It's like, get it together, man. Yeah. Like, you're on camera.
I mean, that's a brotherly love, no pun intended, from so cool.
Watch how much Jason cries when Travis announces it. Watch how much Travis cries when he announces it.
How much I cry.
Seriously.
Watch how much Andy cries. I mean, seriously.
Yes. You better get a whole box of tissues for that Fesco household.
In all seriousness, though, is this going to be the biggest sports retirement that we've seen in our lifetimes?
Nah,
the most impactful one.
George.
He wasn't around then, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I was.
Yeah.
I mean, and I remember, like, Cooperstown. I remember that speech. Like, I can still remember that because I remember that Hall of Fame class. My dad's like, this may be one of the best Hall of Fame classes you ever see.
It probably
inducted
was
into
the best.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And George's retirement, I remember, because it was also kind of sidebarred with Nolan's, because like Nolan did the last, you know, the last Swan song. George gets his hit, kisses home plate, all that sort of stuff, and then goes to Cooperstown, has that speech. So yeah, I mean, this will be one of them. This is definitely going to be one of them.
Yeah, I think for the Sal's newer generation, though, yeah, you're right. But like for our generation, I think you're right. George was that one, right?
Yeah, for sure.
For his generation, again, different eras. Your generation, this will be the biggest sports retirement that you've ever seen. Guys come and go all the time, but not people that have had the impact like him. And you're right, Salvi will be the next one after that. We'll all cry at that. And then Mahomes will be the one after that, or Andy, and Mahomes will, you know, depending on what happens when he retires and where he is in his career, most likely will trump everything that we've seen. Yeah.
Good thing, Jason, and go ahead, you're going to say something?
No, I was just saying, I'm glad that we're doing this, because it's important to, like you're saying, all those moments, all those memories, it's important, like you always say, Bob, to not take it for granted. So I'm glad that we're doing this. And go on the Odyssey app, go on our chapters, send in voice messages of your favorite Travis Kelce memories. I'll compile them all together. We'll get a big kind of hodgepodge of your guys' memories, too. Be a part of this day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea of going to the Odyssey app and using it to, you know, some people leave messages, I guess, on there.
Yes, be a part of the show.
Yeah, be a part of the show. Leave messages about your Kelce moments, and we'll work them into the show as well. And, you know, it's going to be great. And I think for a lot of us, it's going to be that wake-up call that, shoot, man, like, this era is over, and we're on to the next era of Chiefs football without Travis Kelce.
Good thing he has Jason, because we get conversations like this.
I'll go fries.
I mean, you can't beat French fries.
I agree. My least favorite is a baked potato. I think a baked potato is potentially the most overrated item I've ever had.
If it's done right, I can do it. But I hear you. You got to put in too much work. I don't want to put in that much work.
Yeah.
I don't love when they chop them up in like the circles and they throw them in like a cheesy dish.
Oh, the potatoes au gratin?
Yeah, I'm not in love with that kind of potato either.
I'll do a potatoes au gratin, but it's definitely hit or miss with whoever's making the au gratin or how old it is. A lot of times when you have it, it's just been sitting out for too long, and it's just like the cheese has gotten like into a weird texture.
Yeah. And sometimes the potato isn't like cooked and like soft. Sometimes it's like a hard, like you're biting into the regular potato.
Yeah, that's accurate. I think sometimes it's just not a fun potato to eat.
So 1587 will not have potatoes au gratin on the menu.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I love au gratin potatoes.
Me too. But he's right about that. Every once in a while, you get a hard piece of potato.
So true.
And you're like, what is this undercooked potato?
They are going to... they were talking on New Heights about how their favorite version of the potato was.
Mm-hmm.
And someone from the 913 to Kelsey say he was retiring. No, but we would think that this is it, as everything hints towards it. But they were talking about what their favorite potatoes were. So I ranked mine, and I don't know if you agree or disagree mm-hmm. with these, but I went with number one being the twice-baked potato.
If somebody's doing it for you, I'm in on the twice-baked potato, sure. But like having to do it by yourself, that's a lot. They both said, the potato is a lot of work when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, again, I'm just going in general. Like, if I go to Hy-Vee, I'm always going to get a twice-baked potato if I do steaks, almost every time.
That they've made for you there. Yeah. Perfect.
Number two is the hash brown. Whether it's Waffle House, whether it's a local diner, neighborhood cafe, whether it's the McDonald's hash brown, that's my number two favorite version of the potato.
The McDonald's hash brown is superior. There's nothing that even competes with that thing.
I saw somebody the other day said they made a new breakfast sandwich at McDonald's. They got a sausage McMuffin, took the McMuffin bun off, put the sausage and cheese between two hash browns.
I saw that too. I was like, that looks fantastic. Yeah.
And then my third one is just the grilled potatoes, the chopped up potatoes in the foil bag with all the seasonings, the butter, the olive oil, put it on the flame. Let them get crispy on the bottom of that. Oh, God. Those are my three.
Yeah, see, I go with, like, roasted red potatoes in the oven. You cut, like, roasted red potatoes into, like, quarters, throw some olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little rosemary on top.
That's essentially the healthier way than the grilled potatoes.
Kind of, but you roast them and you get them really crispy. Like, the potatoes got to be crispy. That's why, for me, the shredded hash browns, you know, terrible. They're never crispy, and people want to, you know, foist them on you all the time. I don't want shredded potatoes. They
gotta
suck.
Go to Waffle House.
You got to get them crispy. You got to get them crispier, and then you got to get them crispier than that. And so, I'll go with the roasted red potatoes. I do love a good mashed potato with garlic, garlic mashed potato. Also, red potatoes or maybe those Yukon Golds. And then I'll finish it off with the French fry. I mean, come on now. Let's not overthink here. The French fry is what it is. It's named after France.
Any specific version of the fry?
Well, I think we go with the crinkle cut is always my favorite one. I enjoy the crinkle. Yeah, over the waffle.
Curly?
The waffle is good if you're making, like, Irish nachos and mm-hmm. you're using the fry, yep. And you use the waffle fry. For that, giving Maloney all these ideas, he never takes them. But the waffle fry, kind of loaded waffle fries would be good. But I just like that. I like the crinkly cut, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll do mashed potatoes, fries, and loaded baked potato. Pretty simple. But mashed potatoes specifically, Hannah's with sour cream.
You got to have sour cream in your mashed potatoes.
Yes.
You mix it in. You don't put it on top. You mix it in. Absolutely.
The next potato I'm going to make is what they're called smash potatoes. So you let them get soft, and then you smash them down over, like, cheese and garlic and butter, and then you put them in there, and then, like, the end of it's, like, super crispy.
Oh, okay.
You have to look up a recipe. They look amazing.
You got to get little potatoes.
Yeah, like the Yukon Gold, just cut them in half. Those are the best.
Fingerlings are good too, man.
Mm,
toss them in some olive oil and whatnot. They're really good.
Olive oil, avocado oil, they can be your best friend.
Yeah.
Technically, it gets easier. That's right. For those Royals. Plus, why these people at the All-Star game, these old heads, just need to fizzle out. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Mm.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Sometimes I forget I'm on camera, but you shouldn't forget Facebook, Twitch. You can like and subscribe to the Fesco and Dusty page. You can go to the Odyssey app, download the podcast, and listen to us all the time. Somebody says, best Travis memory, 13-second game. Do it, Kels. Do it.
Yeah.
And then we got some more favorite types of potatoes. Somebody says, what about the very versatile potato chip?
It's a good one. Got to have a thicker, sturdier potato chip, though. Not a, like, a just a generic Lay's potato chip. Like, I'm not in on that.
What about a Cardi B chip?
No. Stinks.
You want to elaborate on that?
Well, Stephon Diggs apparently broke up with her because her Brazilian butt lift smelled funny. What the hell was that? It was on Yahoo.
So good.
That's where we're at in the summer.
I mean, that's where we are, though. I mean,
so they
again, thank my
up?
Parents for a great, you know, education in college. What are you talking about? Cardi B's BBL stinking. BBL stinky.
Do they allow that at West Point?
BBL stinky.
Somebody says the loaded potato salad pass.
Loaded potato salad. Oh, I was thinking like a salad with a loaded potato on top. Never mind. I was like, oh,
I would do
God.
A baked potato with a Caesar salad on top of it. Or the old school poor man's potato. My mom and I would go to Wendy's when we were younger and we get a potato and chili and put the chili over the potato.
Yeah, people did that all the time.
It would make Emily proud because she would be like, first, we put the sour cream in and then you put the chili on top and it mixes all together. And that's how we would, that was our meal at Wendy's for a while.
Yeah, they say you're not supposed to get the chili at Wendy's. Yeah, do some Google searches and stuff like that, I guess. I don't know. Look, if you listened to what everybody said, what you weren't supposed to get at restaurants and when it involved food, you would never eat.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says from the 816, the Lay's Southern biscuits and gravy chips are amazing.
Oh,
I'll try that.
There are potato chips over here in the company kitchen called barbecue rib flavored potato chips.
Whoa.
Isn't that just like barbecue chips?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to, are you going to find like little pieces of meat in the chip?
No.
At McDonald's now, getting a hash brown. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Anytime. Yeah. Tell them we sent you.
Yeah.
You and Drew both.
Yeah, exactly. Drew's, Drew's breakfast, right? Two hash browns and a large Coke from McDonald's.
Every day?
Not every day. That's just his McDonald's order.
Okay.
That's it.
But every day is a...
Well, hash browns are fantastic there, and the Coke is better than anywhere else.
Seriously,
so, I mean, that's...
And their Sprite.
Why is that a bad order? That's a good order.
From the 913, potato soup.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I do love it. Bob's not a fan, but I do love potato soup.
You haven't had Dusty's? Dusty's is great.
No, I have. It's fine. It's not something
It's just creamy.
Yeah.
He's not a cream soup guy.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I want a diet. My potato now is a salad. Yep. You know, that's, some people say that works, that if you just think about something else while you're eating that something that you don't really care to eat, it makes it a lot easier.
Does it really? I've never heard that before. That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. It's like trying to like hypnotize the mind. Like, this salad is really a steak. Mm. Oh, this is really loaded biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Sure the hell that tastes like it. And the next thing you know, it's gone. Yeah. And you've done your deed.
Yep.
Let's
BBL
see.
BBL stinky. BBL stinky.
And then, my runner-up was this one. A lot of people were bringing in the tater tot.
Tater tot is really
nice.
You know what I like? I like a homemade tater tot. Every once in a while, you can find a homemade tater tot. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, they do it a little bit differently. But the tater tot, I mean, is just a universally loved potato.
You just can't hate it. Johnny Ray's and Lee Summit has the best tater tots I've ever had in my life.
Oh, wow.
It's like an old school drive through burger place. You can eat inside. It's got like the old fashioned car night every once in a while, but they have like the burgers on the skillet that you should only eat probably once or maybe twice a year if you really want to push
it. I was going to say twice or life. Yeah. You were going to say.
But damn, dude. Johnny Ray, special place in my heart.
Dude, who's ever had a bad tater tot, though? Like, have you ever went somewhere? Like,
Sonic.
I will say this. You think they're bad at Sonic?
I've had bad ones.
Oh,
there,
really?
They're kind of cold.
School cafeteria, we used to get tater tots, you know?
You gotta have crisp.
That were done in the oven and not in the fryer, and so they were mushy, and nobody wanted them. And then Tara Casey's mother used to steal the ketchup. It was awful.
Split the McDonald's hash brown in half and put them in your breakfast burrito. Add picante sauce. Okay,
is the McDonald's breakfast burrito big enough to fit the hash brown?
You'd have to take it apart.
Somebody says, Carrington Banju from the text line, if you say that Wendy's chili is good, apparently. Don't ask me how I remember that from years ago.
Everybody thinks Wendy's chili is good.
Yeah, I think it's a hot take to say no.
Yeah, it really is. Like, most people go, it's good chili.
Good chili.
People like the chili at Wendy's.
He must hate Wendy's chili, but loves chewing on pens.
And hates Kelsey, too. I mean,
he's washed, Rob.
I'll tell you what's washed, that Wendy's chili, Rob. Let me tell you, Rob, the fast food item that's washed the most is that chili at Wendy's. I agree, Carrington.
We're getting a lot of McDonald's hack orders. Large Coke, hash brown, and sausage McMuffin, extra cheese. This is key. Use the app, and it's buy one, get one most days.
Oh.
Has to be crispy, not a soggy tot. And then BBL Stinky might be the best drop anywhere ever.
BBL stinky.
Hey, that was a report on Yahoo that they're no longer together because the BBL had a stank to it.
That's right. I mean, seriously, though, like, I mean, if you stink,
wrong
you stink.
Answers only.
Take a shower.
Well, you know.
PBL stinky. Like, I saw the headline. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
So good.
Don't forget, you can go to our Instagram page, TheFan965. The announcement of Travis Kelce Day is there for you. It'll be August 7th. That is 8/7. So the hell with my 38th birthday. We're going all in on Travis Kelce Day. So be sure to join us. Interviews, segments all based on the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. But
BBL stinky.
Right. But where baseball gets sweet and not stinky is the Royals' schedule moving forward in the second half. What's the biggest complaint we've said? They can't beat the good teams. Darn it. Okay, well, they have the second easiest schedule moving into the second half of the NFL season. Right above them is the Twins. And then right above the Twins is the Cleveland Guardians. And then right above the Cleveland Guardians is the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, from 24 to 30, it's the Tigers, it's Cleveland, Pittsburgh, L.A., Twins, Kansas City.
Right.
Like, everybody got the White Sox left on their schedule?
And go ahead and have the Cubs winning the NL Central. They have the easiest schedule moving forward. That is a fun team to watch if you like watching baseball.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker, Pete Crow Armstrong, and all other casts. But you love to see that because it is nice to see that it supposedly gets easier. They will start on the road. They'll go to Miami, and then I believe they will go to Atlanta, right? Is that right?
Cubs, I thought.
Cubs, that's right.
Miami so, yeah. and the Cubs.
So they'll get Miami, and then they'll go to Chicago. And the season will start, I believe, Friday night, as they have the rest of the All-Star week off until then.
You look at Miami, they got the fourth hardest schedule coming out of the break. And the Red Sox have the hardest schedule coming out of the break for the rest of the year.
Which is why they will be the most active trade deadline team.
Do you know they've won 10 in a row?
They've
won 10 straight games. They're like now 6 or 7 games over 500 now. The Red Sox were kind of left for dead. They traded Rafael Devers. It's amazing what happens when you get rid of a bad seed in your organization and how everybody flourishes because of that, right? Tyreek Hill, Rafael Devers. These teams moved on from these guys and they got better as organizations, because sometimes you look at names and you're like, oh, we can't ever get rid of that guy. He's awesome. And then you realize he's a weight on your organization and he's pulling everybody else down. And since the Red Sox traded Rafael Devers, they've taken off and they've been a much better baseball team. Now they've won 10 in a row, but they do have the toughest schedule remaining the rest of the way. I'm glad you pointed out everybody else in the time. It's got an easy schedule too. It's really it's strange because all the bad teams, the White Sox have the third hardest, the Marlins have the fourth hardest, and the Rockies have the fifth hardest schedule left. And all three of those teams, for all intents and purposes, have already been eliminated from postseason contention in baseball.
Yeah. So I like seeing that because that gives you some sort of advantage, whether you want to agree or not, because if you're playing the easier schedule, that means you're going to play teams that are eventually just going to be like, yeah, we're mailing in. We're just trying to get out of here. The season's not over yet, but it's over for us. And hopefully you can take advantage of that because you are 4.5 games out of the wild card spot. Still very manageable to get to that, that promised land, which is the playoffs, but you're going to have to play really, really good baseball. And luckily, you get to play against not some great teams.
Well, the thing is now, too, Dusty, you can't afford a hiccup anymore, right?
True.
Like you've got 3 games against the Marlins coming out of the break in Miami. Nobody goes to those games. That's not a good team. It's after the All-Star break. Now they've been on vacation for 4 days. You're playing. You have to sweep the Marlins. Like, you have to go into that series and say, we have got to sweep the Florida Marlins. Anything less than a sweep is unacceptable. Then you go to Chicago, you take your chances with the Cubs. Then you've got the Guardians at home for 3 games. You got to sweep the Guardians now. They've given up on life. Mm-hmm. You got to go out there and take care of business against them. Then it's followed by the Braves, and that's how you close out July with the Guardians and the Braves. Take advantage of the Braves. They're not a very good team. Then it gets a little bit tough. You got the Blue Jays, you got the Red Sox, then the Twins. Take care of business against the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the Nationals and White Sox in back-to-back series. Then you got the Rangers. Then you got the Tigers. Then you got, like, you see where I'm going? When you're facing the White Sox, the Marlins, you know, teams that aren't in contention right now, you have got to sweep those teams. There is no more just win the series because of where the Royals are. With only 65 games remaining, there really is no room for error. And so every game from here on out, for all intents and purposes, you have to play almost a perfect game to make sure you win these games that you're supposed to win, because there are still some tough games on that schedule, but you got to make some hay, man, against the Marlins and the Rockies and the teams that are on your schedule that aren't very good. You have to annihilate them.
Hit it.
On the come.
It's Tuesday, so you got to do it twice.
On the come.
Only two guys on the come on a Tuesday here. Somebody said earlier, Dusty, stay out of relationships. They're not good. So I want to bring up, I guess I can start this off first. I want to say on the come is baseball. And this is a story that came out that got a lot of heads rolling and a lot of old heads really complaining.
And this is one of the most polarizing topics that I can remember. Yesterday, the rookie Jacob Mizorowski, named to the NL All-Star team after just five starts, the fewest games ever for someone named to an All-Star game, surpassing by a wide margin Paul Skeens, who had set the record last year at 11.
Well, hey, listen. We got to let's separate the kid from the choice. He had nothing to do with it. So to have any vitriol against the Miz, Mizorowski, is ill-placed and silly. It's not his fault. They decided to do it. But it can also be kind of a joke to the game and the integrity of the game that he's only pitched five times.
And then Ken Rosenthal had his opinion on it.
I see both sides of this debate. I certainly see the side of Major League Baseball and Fox. They want to generate as much attention as possible for the game. They want to generate as much buzz as possible for the game. Jacob Mizorowski does that. He's the Miz. He is a sensation. He is exactly what you want in terms of marketing. Now, the problem is, of course, to those who see this selection as something less than ideal, is that Jacob Mizorowski has made five. Count them. Five starts in the major leagues. Only five.
Okay.
And the question becomes, how far do you lower the bar? Paul Skeens had made 11 starts last year when he became the all-star starting pitcher for the National League. But he had been dominant in those 11 starts, even more dominant than Mizorowski. Had a 1.90 ERA. No one had a problem with that. He came up in early May. He had been a major leaguer for the bulk of the season. But again, when you choose a Mizorowski, you're not choosing others who have been with their teams the entire season and others who have really worked their entire careers to become an all-star.
So I'll take this back. Mizorowski is in the all-star game because several people decided not to play and they're running low on options. Rosenthal nails it in the very beginning and could have just stopped talking there. Baseball and Fox know what moves the needle.
That's right.
Do we not remember what game sold out in the middle of the week when it was a Wednesday in Milwaukee? It was the Miz versus Skeens.
Yep.
Do you know who's starting again for the National League? Skeens.
Right.
So baseball technically got it right last year with Skeens, who only played 11 starts. This year, Paul Skeens and Tarik Skubal will go head-to-head in the first inning of the All-Star game, and it will be electric. Every pitch will be over 100 miles per hour. There will be swings and misses. Or you'll see
somebody... Could be six strikeouts in the first inning.
Could be. And with Mizorowski, the guy throws 103 miles per hour. The guy was picked after several people decided to opt out or not be chosen, and baseball knows what sells because it sold out on a Wednesday in Milwaukee. The guy throws gas. You want to see 103 in the National League versus I want to see Mizorowski and I want to see Bobby Witt Jr. go to the plate. I want to see who can get who because it doesn't mean anything. There's nothing on the line in this other than pride and bragging rights. And when baseball gets their stars and puts them on their biggest stage, which is the All-Star game, because everybody can compete in this game. You don't have to make the playoffs or whatever. Mizorowski will sell. And I'm glad that baseball's doing this.
Yep.
I'm glad they decided this. Fox, MLB, you're on the come because you're getting it. You're putting what the people want to watch. I want to see gas versus power in this All-Star game, and Mizorowski brings that.
Well,
so baseball's on the come for me.
And I love that call of baseball being on the come because I do love the fact that they are doing what the fans want. And this is just another example. Like, I don't think if you're in baseball and this is bothering you, then you should probably retire from the game of baseball and find a different career because you're getting left behind right now. Baseball is not here for the old seam heads anymore and the historians and whatnot. Great part of the game. We love that part of the game. But now baseball's got leadership. And I know a lot of people in baseball don't like Rob Manfred because he's changing the game, but he's doing what fans want. And that's the way you grow the game and you market the game. You give fans what they want. And Rob Manfred has been on a heater in giving fans what they want. And the other thing, too, about baseball is they're not waiting years to decide to do this stuff. They went with the pitch clock. They went with the ghost runners to speed the game up. They're giving us the players we want to see in the All-Star game. I mean, Rob Manfred, with the commissioner's exemption, got both Clayton Kershaw and Bobby Witt into this All-Star game. And then, as you're right, as everybody continues to back out of the All-Star game, well, who are you going to put in there? Let me ask you guys this. If you're against Mizorowski being in the All-Star game, why? That's what people have been talking about. That's what fans have been enamored with. And you're right, to your point, 40,000 fans went out to watch those two guys pitch. There's a gentleman named Jason Adam in the All-Star game for the Padres. Nobody knows who that guy is, but he's an All-Star. Nobody knows who that is. You can watch Jason Adam pitch, or are you going to go out there and watch Mizorowski pitch? The casual fan knows who Mizorowski is. They don't know who Jason Adam is, another guy that's in the All-Star game. A lot of replacement picks, a lot of will-not-plays. You know, you start to look up and down the lineup of these teams, and you're like, who are some of these people? Outside of Kansas City, not many people know who Chris Bubich is, but they know who Mizorowski is. Not many people outside of Seattle know who Andrés Muñoz is, but they know who Mizorowski is. Not many people outside of the White Sox front office know who Shane Smith is. He's in the All-Star game, but people know Mizorowski. You want to grow the game, you need to give the fans the players that they want to see and the players that they're excited about. And say what you want about this Mizorowski kid. He's only pitched in 5 games and had 5 starts at the big league level. He's one of the top 10 most talked about players in baseball right now, and probably one of the players that most people can name in the game of baseball right now. This is about the fans. When you grow the game and you build the fan base, it becomes better for everybody. And Rob Manfred has realized that. He has told the rest of baseball, ain't about you anymore. It's about what the fans want. Jerseys coming back to the All-Star game, or the teams like we've been screaming about for years. Fast-paced games, players we want to see play. Home run derby that involved McAfee and championship belts and chains and all that. Like, baseball's figuring it out right in front of our eyes, and it's cool to see this happen.
Today you might have found out that Jason Adam is from Blue Valley Northwest.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's from Kansas City. But he was the first name on the list, right? He's there. He was Adam. I'm like, all right.
Who's your on the come?
My on the come is O'Neill Cruz, man. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the opportunity to not make the All-Star game, and he could have said, I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to be part of this thing. They asked him to be in the home run derby, hit one 513 feet last night, and made a name for himself. Everybody now knows in sports who O'Neill Cruz is. If you didn't already know him, I think he's a dynamic outfielder, but I think yesterday was that moment where he now got showcased and was able to be in front of the world in that home run derby, and now people know who he is.
And he just hit a blast at Kauffman Stadium, like 449 or something like that, and then Jack kind of squashed that with a 466 missile to center.
Right.
Mac, you got an on the come?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Okay.
Make sure to follow us on
I'll go Cooper Flagg. Sorry about that.
Fesco and Dusty's on the come?
Yeah, Fesco and Dusty on the come, exactly. Yeah, I'll go Cooper Flagg after his 30-point performance. That would be me.
And then he quit the summer league.
He didn't quit. I'm trying
to get Mac going.
Yeah, they were smart. They're like, you had 14,
smart, honestly.
You had
really
18,
smart.
Then you had 31. Yeah, you're done against these scrubs.
We're not risking it.
Do you see Johnny Furphy dunk over that guy last night in the summer league? Former Jayhawk.
I think he dunked in him.
Yes. I mean,
the way his face looked.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. Like that facial reaction. That guy was the 12th overall pick in the draft that got dunked on by Johnny Furphy.
Mm-hmm. We can do a thanks, coach, on the way back, or we can get into what Jimmy Graham's doing, because I am jealous of what he's doing.
How cool is this?
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Stories and texts like this that make me happy to choose this profession from the 816. I just want to thank you guys for always being you. It's been a tough week after a colon surgery for my daughter.
Ooh.
Harlow on Wednesday last week. You all have made my drive from Lee's Summit to Children's Mercy each day when I'm back home with her sisters a little less stressful. Keep up the great work. Cam.
Yeah, Cam, love you, man. We're rooting for you and everything. I know the guys and gals over at Children's Mercy will take care of you. They're wonderful, wonderful human beings, and we're very lucky to have, you know, that hospital here. I tell people all the time, if you're a parent in Kansas City, chances are you've had something done at Children's Mercy. We've had stuff done at Children's Mercy before and whatnot, and it's an amazing place. And so, Cam, you're in good hands, my man.
Mm-hmm. And somebody says, I thought the Miz was the guy from the Real World. Well, there's two. Which I don't know if he's trademarked that name, but he did get super kicked by George Kittle in the Tahoe tournament. But one thing you came across is Jimmy Graham is going to sail the Arctic.
Yeah, he's doing it right now.
Yeah.
And he's in the he's almost done, actually, of sailing this thing. You can track him online. It's like a 6,000-kilometer journey from Sweden, Dusty, to a country that I've never heard of in my entire life. And I like to think I kind of know countries and whatnot, but this one I've never heard of before where he's going. But it's like a 6,000-kilometer trek. And what these guys are doing, he's got a little bit of a crew with him. I think there's four or so with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in a 9-foot boat or something like that, or whatever they said. And they're just going across the Arctic. More people have been to the moon than have been in the Arctic Ocean. And so what this guy, Jimmy Graham, is doing right now is not only, I mean, strange or however you want to say it, but like it's never been done before. They started in Norway. They will row 1,000 kilometers across the Arctic open ocean, landing in Longyearbyen, Svalbard.
That's pretty good.
Is that how
That's
you...
That's about as well as I would do, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that country?
Twice last year.
Svalbard.
You ever been to Santiago, Chile?
Yeah.
Twice last year. So they studied under Kim Green.
They're taking 18 months to prepare for this. It takes 10 to 20 days. They will row in a nonstop.
God.
Nonstop for what, 6,000 or 1,000 kilometers. 9-meter boat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They alternate in 2-hour shifts, 24 hours a day. There's no sleeping. They've got all their supplies on this boat, and they're just moving across the Arctic. And, I mean, it is really unfreaking believable when you think about what these guys are doing. And they're doing it to raise money. Obviously, there's a charity component in this one. But, I mean, it is just absolutely insane. It shows you athletes, man. They're just wired differently than all of us. Because I wouldn't even think or consider doing something like
I wouldn't
this.
Even do what those, you know, tough people did over the past week where they rode the Missouri River.
Yeah, the Missouri River.
Like, shout out to all those people to do that. Like, I envy you. I can't do that. I would give up.
Yeah.
I would literally be in the boat having one major problem. That problem would be
BBL stinky.
And nobody wouldn't be on that boat with me.
That's right. But they're the only team doing this. I mean,
do you have something that you always wanted to do that you haven't done yet?
Oh, they're almost there. They're almost to the finish line.
There you go.
Yeah. They're
getting they got Jimmy Graham in the back.
Yeah. They've been going for 10 days, 21 hours and 50 minutes right now. It's 8 degrees Celsius. Alex, what does that mean in real world temperatures?
Hot.
And they've gone 584.36 nautical miles. So, I mean, it's been a hell of a ride. But there's a couple things. Like, I always thought when I was a kid and I was at the beach, I would look at the ocean and think, oh, I can see England. I'd like to swim there, you know, from the United States. I thought that would be kind of cool
That'd
to swim
sick.
Across the ocean, right? And then you realize as an adult, that's probably not possible. Swimming the English Channel, I think, would be a lot of fun. You know, people attempt that all the time to do something like that. And then I'd like to just take a boat down the Mississippi from the start where we were up there in Itasca State Park. Just take it all the way down to New Orleans. I think that would be a lot of fun. And there are cruises that go up the Mississippi and down the Mississippi.
Mm.
10 days. Do you know how much they cost?
$10,000.
You're pretty close. $12,000 to $14,000 per person to cruise on the Mississippi.
That's where the Savannah Bananas need to do their cruise.
Cruises are like fairly inexpensive most
you
of the time.
You can go
right?
for a week Poop in the cruise. Caribbean for. Have you watched that yet?
I'm no, sure
you
have. I think I know how it ends. It's got a crappy ending.
Yes, it does. But $12,000 to $14,000 to cruise on the Mississippi River when you can go like to the Caribbean for a couple $1,000s. Why would you pay that to go through the Mississippi River?
But you're able to do that 10 times a year when I have 2% of the Chiefs in 15 years.
That's right. Yeah.
Sold. Mac, you have something that you've always wanted to do that you haven't done?
I mean, a bunch of stuff, but backpacking across Europe would be awesome.
Staying at like a hostel and stuff.
Yep, staying at a bunch of hostels.
My buddy Paul did that.
Really?
Said it was awesome.
I got a friend that does that.
Sam, all of that.
A friend of mine does. She's leaving next week to fly to Switzerland, and she's going to walk to Rome.
Wow. Damn. That's incredible.
It's insane. She's done the Camino multiple times from different directions.
I would
leading
love that.
To and like full ones, not like the last 2 minutes and you walk in and you wave to the church or something
no,
like that.
Yeah.
No, 500. miles and stuff like that multiple times. And yeah, it's nuts.
That is really cool. Yeah, yeah, I would love to do that.
And then
that.
Stay in hostels. You meet people along the way.
Yeah, you meet a bunch of people.
Towns and whatnot. Wears you the hell out, though.
I just saw that movie, Hostel, and I'm always worried about staying in a hostel. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I have not.
It's a horror flick. It's terrible. I am the king of swing. Of course, my horse. Watch it sometime if you have nothing else to do but watch a very twisted, bizarre, thriller-type horror movie. It's gross,
like
but it's insane. Mine is like Bob's biggest fear. I've never done it, but I've wanted to do it, and that is sail out and go deep-sea fishing.
If you get ocean sickness, man, I'll tell you,
hell. I don't get...
That would be cool.
I don't get ocean sickness. I don't get motion sickness, but I do have always wanted to do that, like go out like on a catamaran or whatever it is, go out to the deep sea, put on the snorkeling gear and go down there and, you know.
That'd be cool. Be is there so anything sick. Specific that you'd want to catch or like?
Barramundi.
What is that?
I don't know.
Okay, sweet.
No, I just want to catch like, I don't know, like maybe you go down wherever you get like yellowfin tuna.
Or stuff like that
that you can like catch and then go grill that night. Like there's nothing better.
You got to like Mexico and Hawaii.
I got to have a lot of money to do it. Yeah. But I've always been told from friends that have done it, they're like, oh, it's awesome. Because like you just go down there and like everything's quiet. And like you get to go down there, like you get to go out there and like fish in the deep sea and rock and stuff like that. Or maybe like go snorkeling in the ocean somewhere. Be afraid that I'd find like a giant squid.
Yeah.
But I've always been wanting to go explore. Especially after watching all those like Planet Earths and like like go to the the Great Barrier Reef in Australia.
Now that would be awesome.
That'd be sick to like put on some snorkeling gear, go like snorkel the Great Barrier Reef.
That would be cool.
Oh, it's sick.
Have you ever gone snorkeling at all anywhere?
Just in a lake,
in the ocean.
Yeah, it's fun. You go down to Mexico and you do that kind of stuff, and you see the coral and you see the fish. Would you ever want to go in a cage with sharks?
No.
Like one of you've seen these people dropped into the ocean and you're kind of smiling. So is that something you would do?
I think I would do it.
I would absolutely poop myself. I know I would
do that too. Yes.
I would absolutely defecate in my drawers. There's no doubt in my mind that that would happen. I see this big great white shark coming at me. Ah!
Somebody says scuba diving is awesome. You can feed tuna by hand.
Damn.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be sick. Yeah, all that stuff. Skydiving.
Have you ever been eaten by a whale?
No, his name's not Noah. I mean, somebody says kayak through the Grand Canyon, something they want to do.
That's a 30-some day trip, right? I was talking to my friend Drew about this, and he's a big outdoor rafter and whatnot. And he was talking about doing the Snake River in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you load up on the first day, and then that's it. There's nowhere to stop. And you're out there for a week on the Snake River. So you got to get these thick blocks of ice. You can barely open your cooler. The only time you can open your cooler is like midnight, get a couple of things out for the next day, seal it back up. And that ice has to last you the whole week. Think about doing the Grand Canyon for like a 30-day trek. Where are you getting supplies?
That's crazy. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Next time on Survivor.
And this is my ignorance, right? I figured the Grand Canyon was like one of those eight-hour like adventures that they somehow fly you down there or something. You do your raft, they pick you up, and you're done. No, these are like 30 to 33-day adventures in the Grand Canyon. You got to have all your crap with you.
That's pretty
badass. I don't know that I want to do that, though, for 30-some days. I'd rather walk through Europe and be on land and know I can stop and rest for the night. And there's a refrigerator. You know, like 30 days. You know how hot it is at the Grand Canyon? So the Brady Bunch almost die.
Your hiking thing is fun. I did it in Oregon. We went up a couple like big like routes and then saw like waterfalls and stuff like that. I think I showed you pictures when I was there.
Yeah.
It was a couple years ago. It was really cool. I really would do that again. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you get to some high points up there. You see all like the giant trees up in the Pacific Northwest, and it's just like a good temperature. And then you go to Willamette Valley and drink all the Pinot Noir you ever wanted in your life, where it's made
that
perfect.
Awesome.
Hiking is great, and then you have children, and they have no interest in doing that.
My legs hurt.
Like you're missing all of this great stuff.
When are we going to have fun? You'll appreciate it when you're older.
Right, exactly.
Coming up on the other side, we get to start Bench Cut. It is brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow. Start Bench Cut. Coming up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.